Hi, I'm Elise Lamel, Legal Content Specialist at Kroos Financial Services. Joining me today is Valerie Peterson, CEO of Elder Counsel. Elder Counsel primarily services the elder law community by providing law firms with the education, training, and support they need to nurture and grow a successful elder law practice. In addition to their outstanding document drafting software, Elder Counsel also provides a number of other resources, including an extensive video and course library, monthly webinars, white papers, and more. Today, Valerie will be sharing what elder law means to her and how the work being done at Elder Counsel has been beneficial to the lives of many elder law attorneys across the country and their clients. Hi, Val. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Of course. So let's get into our first question right away here. How did you first become introduced to elder law, and how did you begin practicing in this specialty area?
Unfortunately, my story is probably like a lot of attorneys who have gotten involved in this area. I found myself in the position of a caregiver for a loved one with dementia at a pretty young age. I was recently out of law school. I was building a litigation career, and suddenly I was asked to step in because I was the only one geographically close to my great aunt, who had recently been diagnosed with dementia of the Alzheimer's type. And during that process, I made so many mistakes just out of complete ignorance. I didn't understand payment options for nursing home care. I didn't know a lot about the disease itself and the hazards of moving someone from one facility to the other. I didn't fully understand my great aunt's rights when the nursing home tried, unfortunately successfully, to kick her out. I didn't realize the rights that she had. And it was an area of law I frankly had never heard of. I had no idea that elder law was an area of law. And so through this, it was about a 4 to 5 year experience. And my mom was helping me, but we were both, you know, weren't geographically close to her at the time. So I ended up moving to the same city. And after about 5 years, unfortunately, she passed away. And when I had time to reflect, I realized that this is an area that families really need specific legal help. And I decided at that moment, I was going to switch from litigation to elder law. I set up my practice, got a line of credit set up, and started finding all of the elder law education courses that I could find. I was very lucky. I had a mentor. He was an estate planning attorney that I was sharing office space with. And the advice he gave me was, get your credit card out, find all of the education you can find. Don't worry about the cost. Just dig in and really start learning this area. And so that's what I did. I took a deep breath, found the credit card with the biggest limit, and just started soaking in all of the education that I could while running my own practice.
So from running your own elder law practice and getting that started, what led to the creation of Elder Counsel?
So Elder Counsel, I'd love to take credit for it. I can't. Elder Counsel was created as a sister company to Wealth Counsel, which is an estate planning company. And four individual lawyers who were all elder law attorneys really saw the need to have an organization that provided education, document drafting, and overall support to attorneys entering the field of elder law. Elder law is still a relatively new area. And when we started in 2008, we just believed that there was a need, that attorneys would need specialized education, specialized help in this area. And so those four attorneys partnered with Wealth Counsel, and we started Elder Counsel. I was asked to come in at the very beginning and help them get Elder Counsel launched. I had no idea I would be with Elder Counsel 14 years later, but it's been such a blessing to help elder law attorneys across the country, because the more attorneys we help, the more people and the more families can be helped.
So who benefits from elder law, and why is it such an important area?
I say every family that is impacted by a loved one who needs long-term care or who has suffered a catastrophic health event, someone who has a special need that perhaps they were born with or it happened later in life, all of those families, and I'm saying families intentionally, because when you're helping someone through a very difficult time in their life, it impacts everyone. It's not just the client. The other thing that we are able to do as elder law attorneys is help people take steps to protect what's important to them before the worst happens, you know, where we're kind of preparing for the possibility of someone needing long-term care, the possibility of a sudden event. I witnessed that personally in 2020. My mom had a stroke very suddenly. I was lucky. I was there with her, but it was very, very sudden and just not something we ever thought would happen. And that's what elder law attorneys do. It's not always a pleasant conversation with families, but it truly is the families that we are helping and the generations to come.
So why do you think attorneys would find elder law as an attractive practice area? I know you touched on a couple of reasons and how it impacts others. What's attractive to an elder law attorney about joining that?
Elder law allows you to have a client for a lifetime where you can help them early in life and you can help them through all the stages of life and everything that brings, whether it's healthcare challenges for the client, healthcare challenges for a loved one, for a friend. You are really able to help them navigate every step of life and all of the different things that happen financially, medically with those stages of life. So attorneys who really want those lifetime clients and be able to help them and then their kids and their kids throughout their lifetime, that's, I think, one of the really attractive pieces of elder law that sometimes gets overlooked. Sometimes attorneys view it more as a transactional type, and it can certainly be that type of law, but it could also be so much more than that, where you truly do get to help families through all those different stages of life.
Is there anything about elder law that you think maybe detract attention from it? Maybe why elder law attorneys don't incorporate it into their practice more?
You know, like so many areas, it takes work, it takes dedication to be able to learn a new practice area. I think some attorneys believe that it is only about Medicaid planning or only about fill in the blank. A lot of attorneys really limit what the area of elder law is. And when you do that, you tend to find reasons why it won't fit into your practice or why maybe it's not right for you. So with Elder Council, we've really tried to make it our mission to better define and expand what elder law really is. We happen to define it by the clients who are served, but there's very specific practice areas that it covers. It certainly covers Medicaid planning, but it also, in our view, covers special needs planning, planning for veterans, for wartime veterans, because there are very specific benefits available to wartime veterans and their spouses as they age, and those benefits help them with long-term care costs. So it's really being able to expand and open attorneys' eyes to how big of an area this is and how you can positively impact families throughout their lives. I think if we can continue to just get that message out there, and I'm so thankful to you all for taking this on and helping us get that message out, because that eliminates so many of those just misconceptions about what elder law is, and it helps to keep from attorneys limiting what elder law attorneys do.
So that leads perfectly into my next question. So you work with a lot of attorneys, well, Elder Council does in general, with who are starting out also as well as established elder law attorneys. What are some myths or misconceptions that you've heard come up that you think still need to be debunked or clarified?
Goodness, this could take pretty much the whole podcast. So I'll try to limit it to the most popular ones that we hear. We'll hear attorneys say it's only for people that don't have money, and that's really a different way of saying it's only about Medicaid planning. Medicaid planning is certainly a piece of what elder law attorneys do, but it is not the piece. We look at the clients as a whole in their situation and look at what their medical needs are, what might happen in the future, how they can pay for care if they need it. Sometimes Medicaid is the answer. Sometimes veterans benefits is the answer, which is also a needs-based benefit, but not always. And that's the beauty of elder laws. We get to look at the whole picture and make recommendations based on what's right for the client, for their spouse, for their family. So that's one area that we see a lot of myths around, that it's just about Medicaid. Another one is that it's just for old people. And I don't know how you define old, but elder law and the services that elder law attorneys provide are really appropriate truly for any age. Because with elder law, we're often using our estate planning tools to help people. So they can be in their 20s, 30s, 40s, where some of our specific expertise kicks in is if there is a specific healthcare need or a disability that is already there or that happens later. So we're already prepared, and that's when this specific expertise comes into play. But not just old people have healthcare needs or have long-term care needs. Disabilities don't care how old you are or how much money you have. And again, we are uniquely situated and have that specific knowledge to help such a broad group of people. So thinking it's just for old people is another common myth. I've covered Medicaid planning, covered the myth where attorneys think that it's only for people without a lot of money. Whatever that means, it is completely untrue. Other attorneys just think that it's too complicated. You know, it's a complicated area to learn. It is no more complicated than taking on any area of practice that is new. But attorneys who are really passionate about helping people and helping families through every stage of their life, those are the ones who are ultimately so successful in this area because they have a passion for it and they have a drive. And when you have that passion and you have that drive and you want to help people, that makes learning the area seem far less complicated. And I'm not going to say that it's not complicated. Every area of law has its complications. But when you're really anchored to why you're doing it and who you're helping, really makes it that much easier and you're more dedicated to learning it. So those are really the most common ones that we see in terms of myths.
So for a new attorney starting out, how would they start looking for resources? How would they get started learning more?
You know, even though it was, I don't even want to say how many years, we're going on 20 years that I've first even realized elder law is a thing. It is really about finding the best resources, the best education that suits you. I was in such a unique position when I joined Elder Council in 2008, because education is a big thing that we provide. We feel it's really, really important. So I had the ability to create an education program for attorneys new to elder law that could teach it in a more deliberate way than I learned it. Because I learned it, like I'm sure a lot of attorneys who've been doing this as long as I have, we call it the fire hose method, where you're kind of given a bunch of rules, hosed down by all the rules, and then kind of left to go figure out, okay, how do I apply these? How do I talk to clients about it? How do I really make these strategies work? So we took a lot of time and pulled on the expertise of others in the industry to come up with a 3-day program that has now actually expanded to a 12-month program that we call our Elder Law Immersion and Practice Building Camp. It is teaching our attendees the law, how to apply the law, but also how to start getting clients and how to talk to clients about this type of planning, And we're, again, very deliberate about how we deliver the education so that it doesn't overwhelm people sitting in the room. And that's frankly why we extended it to a 12-month program, where you can start your learning before you ever sit in a room with us. Then you have 3 days of pretty intense learning, and then 11 more months of aftercare, where you're getting continued education. You get to meet once a month with others in the camp and with the instructors to go over questions and challenges. So, of course, I would recommend starting with our Elder Law Immersion and Practice Building Camp. Again, because everyone who teaches it, everyone who has a say in the curriculum has been in the seat of, oh my gosh, I'm adding elder law. How do I do this? And so we have been able to, over the years, really refine that course to help people get the education quickly. And by the end of that 3 days, our commitment is you'll be ready to start helping people. And that's really what we want. You won't know everything, because even after almost 20 years, I don't know everything, but that's part of the beauty of it. Every client brings unique circumstances. But if you can't attend our immersion camp for whatever reason, we do have a lot of free resources on our website. Your local bar association may have an elder law section. The National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys has a lot of state-specific questions, but I fully support anyone in the elder law space or thinking about it to also get involved with that organization. We refer to it as NALA, a really, really great organization that will also help you get up to speed and just get you with a community of other attorneys as well. So whatever your budget looks like, sometimes you might just have to take a deep breath, put that credit card down, but get in there, start learning, pay for your education, because you will just automatically be more invested in learning it. There's a lot of free stuff out there. I'm not saying don't do that, but when you're really committed to bringing on this practice area, pay for it.
I think that's excellent advice. And you also touched on having a mentor can also be a huge advantage as well.
Yes, absolutely. And mine wasn't a quote, elder law mentor. He was an estate planning attorney, but he realized how critical it was to have that specialized elder law education. So I didn't have to worry as much about the estate planning at the time. I just had to really embrace elder law, understand what it meant, understand the opportunities, get the education, get as much as I could while running a practice. And one question that often comes up is, well, how do I transition from a different practice area into elder law? There's a lot of different ways you can do it. I won't say that it's easy. I hung on to a couple of practice areas. I was known for family law and criminal defense in my area. So I did hang on to those because you still have to pay the bills, keep the lights on. But I was also going out and meeting every person who would meet with me that might be a potential referral source. I was saying yes to any speaking engagement, as terrifying as that sounded when I felt like I didn't know any. And so each attorney will kind of figure out a way, but something does have to give, because when you're adding a practice area, you either have time or you have money. Sometimes you don't have both. And if you don't have the money, then it is time. You've got to get out there, meet people, make those connections, start figuring out people who can refer you business. And even if you hang on to a couple of practice areas for a while, I'm not going to judge you. I did that to keep the lights on. But then eventually you can transition out of those practice areas and just focus primarily on elder law.
Excellent advice. So for any of our attorneys watching that are interested in learning more or want to connect with you or in your team at Elder Council, how can they get in touch with you?
The best way is to visit our website, eldercouncil.com. You're also always welcome to reach out to me directly. It's valerie.peterson@eldercouncil.com. I think if you do go to our website and explore it and look at some of our resources there, that'll be a really great first step to figure out, okay, how can I really embrace this area? What does it mean? And what's available to me to learn this area?
Wonderful. Well, we'll be sure to link your contact information at the end of this video for any of our viewers. Val, I can't thank you enough for sharing your time with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much again for the opportunity.